U105 Pets Corner with Flynn Vets, providing a comprehensive veterinary service in Belfast 24/7. See flynnvets.com.
So I did promise you that Dan Flynn would join us from Flynn Veterinary Centre, and he's just arrived. And you're going to focus today on, what do you say, urinary problems?
I'm going to just touch on urinary tract problems and bladder pots. And we'll start with cats, and if we have time, we'll move to dogs. In cats, it's a syndrome sort of called feline urinary tract, lower urinary tract disease. And it's very common. We would see it quite regularly. I suppose the public would call it, they think the cat has got cystitis. So a couple of things that predispose this. This is more about cat health, mm-hmm. that just for people to be aware of. So obesity would be one. An obese cat is more likely to run into problems with urinary tract disease. Stress is very, very high on the list. And I suppose we often don't know, is our cat stressed or not? Cats in a multi-cat household are often more stressed than a single cat.
All right. What is that? Just fighting for control?
It's hard to know. Like, and how do they express it? We don't know how they express it. Like, they can express it by just being on their own, but one of the symptoms can be that they maybe start having urinary problems. So they might start, piddling in places where they have it, where they don't normally piddle. Mm-hmm. And they can be straining as well. So you might see a cat straining. And the odd time you'll see spots of blood in it. And in a cat where male and female, when they start straining or run into problems like that, it is a medical emergency. More so in males, but in females too, it's very uncomfortable. But the problem with male cats is they can actually get a blockage in the urethra and cause severe stress and pain. Mm-hmm. And that's often when a cat comes into us, the first thing we will do is palpate its abdomen, because you can feel the bladder very easily. Uh-huh. And it's either empty when they have a urinary problem, or it's absolutely full, rock solid. And that is an emergency. You need to get in there, sedate it, and mm-hmm. get the blockage uncovered. So just a couple of wee things about de-stressing cats, just in general. So you should always have litter trays in the house. Mm-hmm. And I say tray, so everyone has one litter tray. Some people actually don't. When you discuss the problem, they say, oh, the cat always goes out. But a cat will be less stressed if it knows that it has a litter tray to go to, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to wait till the morning to get out.
And doesn't have to share it with everybody else.
Well, so sharing it. So have more than one litter tray. It's hard to know, should you have one per cat? But certainly if you have lots of cats, you need lots more litter trays so that they have a choice. And you need to be cleaning them out more.
You never think about that, you know. You think there's one litter tray, you've a couple of cats.
So it does make a huge difference. And like, this is just from telling this to people and them coming back and saying, you know, that's made a big difference to the cat. So more than one around the house, maybe one upstairs, one downstairs. You can't have them everywhere, but
upstairs and downstairs leave for the cat. Right. any other tips on that?
Cats as well. Say when you're feeding your cat, they like to be fed on their own. So, and a very easy reason for this. They have, if you watch, the whiskers come out, they're quite much wider than the face. So if you see two cats eating together and the whiskers are banging off each other, you know, they're not that comfortable.
Right.
If you were feeding them a little bit of meat, they'll often take the meat and take it to the side and start chewing away there. Uh-huh. But if you're feeding dried food or pouches, two cats and they're eating together, their whiskers are all...
So they're not comfortable with that?
So they're not totally happy with that. And should be fed separately. And as well as that drinking, they should maybe have their own little drinking bowl, mm-hmm. Because they need free access to water, especially cats with urinary problems. Mm-hmm. They need to drink more water. So you need to replace the water a lot. And again, they would rather their own versus sharing it with another cat that's just been in a few minutes earlier. Mm-hmm. One little tip for increasing the drinking. So when we say to someone, you know, your cat's got a urinary problem, we'd like it to drink more. That's very, very difficult. You're not going to start syringing mm-hmm. water and the cat won't tolerate it. So one tip would be, you know, tins of tuna. Uh-huh. You have tins of tuna in brine or oil. Uh-huh. Now, so it's not the brine we're looking at, it's the oil. So okay. Tins of tuna and oil. What you can do is you can pour off the oil into, make oil, ice cubes. You can make up ice cubes of this pure oil, tuna oil. Mm-hmm. And then you take an ice cube out every so often and pop that into the water. So it dissolves in the water.
Ah, now, so it becomes more attractive to it.
So
then.
Suddenly they're going, oh, this is nice water now. Yes. They'd start drinking more. Mm-hmm. So that's one tip we can use. There's other things now, like food. Food is important. Urinary tract problems, you want more water. So therefore, a wet food diet is more advantageous than a dried food diet. Right. If your cat is dried, we will try and offer them pouches and try and get more fluid into them. Mm-hmm. You can also add hot water, you know, lukewarm water, hot, into the pouches just to dilute it, mm-hmm. but they'll take more water in with that.
Right, okay. And what other things should people look out for?
So, well, blood in the urine, mm-hmm. straining. It's quite mm-hmm. obvious when the cat's straining, they feel they need to go. So in a female, they may feel the need to go, but there actually isn't anything coming out.
Well, what about if cats go out? You know, they do go outside. How are you able to observe
that? Well, usually you won't. You won't see that. But if there's a problem, they'll start, they will do it in the house as well. If they're in the house a lot, they will start doing that.
And is that because they can't help it?
They feel they have to go. So they'll be in this litter tray, arched back, mm-hmm. and yet there's nothing coming.
Right.
And the male, if he is blocked, he will be in pain. So they'll just go regress into themselves and, you need to get them in and get seen.
Right, okay. Well, we're going to talk about the problems in dogs. We'll do
in
that.
In dogs, yeah.
We'll take a tune and then we'll come back to you in a wee minute because we've got some queries coming in here that you may want to tackle as well. So stand by. Dan Flynn is with us from Flynn Veterinary Centre. And, we'll come back to you after Adele and Someone Like You. If you've got a query, it need to be really quick, all right? You can text it or quickly call up on 90333105. So Dan Flynn is with us. We're talking about urinary and bladder problems in cats and dogs. Just covered the cats there. So in dogs, what would you say?
There was one more query there coming in about if the cats are sisters. I'm not saying separate your cats. All we're saying is like they live happily together and they may not have urinary problems, but I think feeding them separately and having more litter trays in the house is a good sort of management mm-hmm. of cats. So in dogs, the problems are different. They can get cystitis, but most of the time, crystals, bladder stones is a bigger problem. Now, in the cat end of it, the crystals are there as well, but it's sort of changed. It used to be, we all thought it was crystals causing it in cats, but stress has become nearly the most important thing. Mm-hmm. It's about reducing stress. There can be crystals in cats as well that need to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. But in dogs, crystals is more prominent as the reason for problems with going to the toilet. And again, just a couple of anatomy problems in dogs. In the dog, the male dog, there is a bone in the penis. Maybe did you know that?
No.
Okay, so there's a bone in the penis, and therefore if the dog has crystals or stones in its bladder, there is a risk that the stone comes up through the urethra and will get blocked literally just behind this. It's called the os penis. Mm-hmm. So again, females are not more or less at risk of that because their urethra is shorter and they can pass actually quite considerable stones. But these are things you're going to be diagnosed. Bleeding in blood in the urine, straining, and those are the symptoms. The other one the male can get is prostate. The prostate is on the neck of the bladder, and it can often start bleeding just for no reason. Mm-hmm. But you'll find with that the blood will not be associated with urinating. It just could start dripping. It could start dripping blood. And that's a clue that it's maybe not bladder related, it's prostate related.
Okay.
But if the urine's coming out blood, it can be cystitis, bacterial infection, but often there's an underlying problem, which could be crystals or stones. We have taken out like rocks.
My goodness.
Rocks, like where I can feel the bladder and I feel these like just stones.
How does it happen then?
So it builds up over time, and it is dietary. So the dog is forming crystals.
Is there a particular food that should be avoided or...?
Not really. It's hard to know. Not really. It's about when they get it. You have to change their food so that the crystals are less likely to form.
Yeah.
Some dogs are like Dalmatians are one that are very classic for getting one particular stone. But the stone, usually the most common one, is called struvite. Mm-hmm. Start off as wee crystals, and then over time they develop into these rocks.
Mm. Okay. So the things to look out for are straining with.
It's the same thing. Straining and some blood in the urine and irregular piddling habits. So mm-hmm.
And it just can't be ignored. You've got to go straight to your bed, get it sorted out.
About it, yeah.
All right, can we just run through some of these queries? I have a boxer who's shedding hair a lot. She also has bald patches. Is this something to worry about? Seems to happen every year around this time. What do you say?
So again, that is seasonal. Bald patches, more than likely in a boxer, will be flank. Mm-hmm. So if just behind the ribs, up high, can be bilateral. And sometimes there can be underlying causes there. Hypothyroid, Cushing's disease, those are two things that can cause that. Mm-hmm. In boxers, it can just happen, and they're off. You can do all the work to find out what's wrong, and there's nothing wrong. It can be hormonal, so is the bitch spayed or not spayed? And it can be seasonal, so for some reason, it comes in the summer and goes away in the winter. It may not actually be itching that, but I think you just have to do the underlying tests to see, is it something you can do about? And if it's not, it may just be left.
Now, this is an interesting one. Joan Antrim says that 4-year-old Cocker Spaniel had 7 pups on Friday morning, 3rd litter, 4 of them wouldn't feed off her at all. So after 24 hours, I took them off her and started giving them 2 mils of milk or quarter strength baby milk every 2 hours. They died yesterday and seemed to be suffering before they went. Did I do the right thing? The other 3 are doing well with the bitch. What do you think went wrong there? All 7 pups were the same size. Joe is, he's just wondering, is there something he could have done?
Okay, well, sort of look at this as just any bitch. Now, the bitch has had 3rd litter, so Joe obviously thinks this bitch is has maybe mothered the pups before and has done a good job, so he is thinking it's going to be the same again. Mm-hmm. Now, when any bitch is having pups, you do need to be prepared. Now, he has mentioned there baby milk. So immediately, like, to me, you need puppy milk. Mm-hmm. You need to, if you're going to have, a bitch is having a litter, you need to have some, it's called whelpy. You need to have it on standby. So that
if there's trouble,
you can supplement them. And often now, he has said as well, they were just picking up on a couple of things. They wouldn't feed from her. So after 24 hours, they took them off her. Now, 24 hours for a pup not feeding is too long. So that puppy needs to be feeding within hours of birth or their energy levels will fall. So he possibly was slow to get to start feeding them. And then they get hypoglycemic, they get cold, and you're struggling. You are going to struggle to get them going again. So she may not have had much milk. So the other thing there, if she didn't have much milk, you know, you could supplement them. And there is an injection. You can give them oxytocin, which just might stimulate the bitch to secrete milk and get her going if she wasn't doing it. So, just in preparation for any bitch having pups, you must have some puppy milk. You must have syringes, you must have bottles, you must have it on standby.
Yes, you just can't sit and wait. You've got to get yourself all ready for
you gotta
this.
You've got to get
organised. It's a really big thing that's happening here.
And even
and
to speak to the vet beforehand.
It's tragic to hear that those wee puppies died. Yeah. You know.
Now, there's other things that could, they could have had, like E. coli infection, but that seems very early to get it. I think very early it's about weakness and just they haven't got the energy to
move. Puppies within 24 hours
they need to be fed every 2 hours
and they need to be kept really warm
and they get cold by feeding. They keep warm, but if they're not fed properly, they'll get cold and they just lose the strength and they will die.
Can you ask the vet? I have a wee bitch, Patterdale Terrier, around 14 months. She's a wee rescue dog. The problem is her eyes are constantly watering. I've noticed the other Patterdale has been licking them for some reason. Could this be the problem, and is that normal for dogs to do that?
Okay. So I would think the problem is the eyes are watering, first of all. And then, so there could be a problem there. The reason the other dog's licking them is like the pack effect. Like one dog will try and look after the other. Mm-hmm. Or the other thinks there's a problem there. So he sees this fluid and he's licking it. Uh-huh. But if the dog's eyes are watering, you have to look at the eyes and why are they watering. Mm-hmm. It could be blocked tear ducts. It could be maybe mild form of entropion where, you know, there's something wrong with the eyes, and that would be the first, you know, go and get that seen too.
Yeah. Right, final question here. Mary in Belfast says, my dog's tummy is turning black. Can you suggest what's causing it? She's 2 years old.
Okay, so there's not much information there, but skin will turn black often where there is itching involved. It's a pigmentation. It goes from normal pink and it starts to get black due to itching or skin problems. The other one is it's hyperpigmentation. Now, whether it's itching or, again, I'm going back, Cushing's disease, things can cause, well, there mightn't be much scratching, but there are skin changes. So,
but not to be ignored.
Not to be ignored. Like, it's unlikely you can get, it's unlikely to be just freckles that have changed. You know, it's not, if it's black, there's a problem there.
So, what you're saying to Mary, go and get that looked at now.
Go and get it looked at. And yeah, you need just a bit more information there.
All right. Dan, thanks very much for all your advice.
No problem.
Today. Just for your for information, Facebook or
website? Facebook, the website, flynnvets.com, and we'll have a wee Facebook link on that anyway.
All right. Good stuff. Dan Flynn, thank you.
U105 Pets Corner with Flynn Vets, providing a comprehensive veterinary service in Belfast with clinics open 24/7. See flynnvets.com.